like visitors during this time of the year, and we really, really like visitors on Sunday night during this time of the year, because our attendance is usually quite low. We continue to have an awful lot of prayer concerns. We want to remember all of our prayer concerns for this coming week and in the weeks to come, and we certainly will be doing that. As I announced this morning, we're going to be looking at Jericho. So I'll be making a rather lengthy reading, more than I normally do, from Joshua chapter 6. So I encourage you to go ahead and open your testaments or your device to Joshua chapter 6. Begin with verse 1. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king, and its mighty men of valor," or the mighty men of valor. Now we get to God's plan. "You shall march around the city, all your men of war. You shall all go around the city once. Then you shall do six days. And seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horn before the ark," that would be the Ark of the Covenant. "But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up every man straight before him." And that is exactly what happened. Verse 6, "Then Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord.' And he said to the people, 'Proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Lord.' So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horn before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests and blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the Ark while the priests were continuing to blow the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, 'You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout.' So he had the Ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came to the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose up early in the morning, and the priest took the Ark of the Lord. Then the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them. But the rear guard came up after the Ark of the Lord while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And the second day they marched around the city once and returned to camp. So they did 6 days. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose up early, about the dawning of the day, and marched around the city seven times in the same manner. On that day only they marched around the city seven times, and the seventh time it happened, when the priests blew the trumpets, and Joshua said to the people, 'Shout, for the Lord has given you the city.'" Now skip down to verse 20. "So the people shouted, and the priests blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city." When I was studying this, even this afternoon, and I was practicing that reading, I got goosebumps. Just reading that very, very familiar story just gives us goosebumps. Let's look at this story tonight. Let's begin with a history lesson. All historians seem to agree that Jericho was one of the oldest cities in human existence. In fact, some were so bold as to say it goes back maybe 8,000 years. Well, that's a long time with God's span. Back to, well, more than that, 8,000 B.C., excuse me. But Jericho was the greatest obstacle that stood between the promised land and the promised people, the Israelites. They had to defeat Jericho. It is no coincidence that that was their first major battle. It had to be taken down, otherwise they never would have been able to enter into Canaan's land. Now let's look at the city itself. Jericho not only was a walled city, it was a fortified city. In fact, even years ago when I was studying this particular scripture, one commentator said it was more of a fortress than it was a city, because the walls were so high and it was so large. One estimate was that the city was 10 acres in width. That's a very, very large city. Also, it was built on a big mound. And when you take this big mound, build this 30-foot tall wall on top of the mound, if you're down below the mound looking up to the top, that would be 5 or 6 stories high. And the wall, according to history, was almost as wide as it was tall. Brethren, I don't know about you, but if I was an Israelite, I had not heard God's plan, I'm not even sure if it would have changed then. We've just come out of 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Before that, we were slaves in Egypt. And I see this fortress, I think I would be impressed. Let's just say it that way. It would be very, very impressive. Jericho had stood all these many, many years, not by accident. In fact, verse 2, did you notice? They also had mighty men of valor. The Israelites had their mighty men of valor. Jericho has its mighty men of valor. No doubt they had a tremendous army there inside the city. And up to this point, they had never been defeated. I think all historians agree to that. They had never been defeated. Now let's consider some human logic. I implied this a moment ago. I acknowledge this now. To me, that would look like an impossible task. You know, maybe Joshua, maybe we should go to Ai and start there. You know, that was a much smaller little town. Maybe we should go there. Maybe we should try to make some allies before we do that. Maybe we need to get some tanks or some bombs or something before we attack Jericho. That would probably have been my feeling. But my feelings would have been wrong. Now here's the point I think we need to really always remember. 40 years ago, everyone would have agreed with me. We're like grasshoppers compared to the men of Canaan. We're like grasshoppers. We can't do it. But now they've been wandering for 40 years in the wilderness. Now they're ready to fight. Though it might have looked impossible, let's remind ourselves of what the New Testament says. With God, all things are possible. And we need to realize that. In ancient days, when an army would come to a city, they normally would set up what is called a siege. They would either surround the city or surround the roads or trails into the city. They would keep everyone from the city from going out, and they would keep all provisions outside from coming in. And so they would set up a siege on the city. Maybe it would take only months. Maybe it would take years. But here, as I implied a moment ago, I think the Israelites at this time are ready to fight and not starve out the city. They were ready to take on the city of Jericho. Why wait any longer? Because of a lacking of faith, we wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. We're ready to move on to God's plan. And that brings us to God's plan. Now, brethren, I'm no military strategist, but marching around the city once a day for 6 days, not saying anything, and then marching around the city 7 times on the 7th day just doesn't sound like a military strategy that's going to work. Now, if God would have allowed Joshua to come up with the strategy, his strategy would have failed. Had God allowed the Israelites to come up with their strategy was going to fail. Brethren, this was the lesson that the Israelites needed to learn. Don't rely on Joshua to make your plans. Don't rely on self to make your plans. Rely on God. Be totally dependent on God. Had they not been at this time totally dependent on God, they would have failed. And brethren, that's the lesson for us today. We need to be totally dependent upon God. I'm not saying we should quit our jobs and move to a commune somewhere. Not at all. But when it comes to getting to heaven, when it comes to loving each other, we need to be totally dependent on God. Joshua couldn't outthink God, and neither can we. The people could not outthink God, and neither can we. We just need to do what God tells us to do. And that's what they did, and that's where the success came. Now again, had God allowed Joshua to come up with a plan, I'm sure that he would have. It would have failed. The people's plan would have failed. Everyone today is going to fail to get to heaven unless we go through God's plan. Now, here's another point I really want to make every time we talk about Jericho. Marching around the city once a day for 6 days, seven times on the seventh day, shouting that great shout of victory, that doesn't sound too logical to me. But the plan to get us to heaven sounds very, very logical. Rely on the blood of Jesus. Hear the truth of the gospel. Believe that it is the truth. Acknowledge that we cannot get to heaven without Jesus. Turn away from everything that stands between us and him. Start over. That's what the Bible calls baptism. Just start over and then live a faithful Christian life. Probably the life that you and I would live even if we were not Christians. Honesty, decency, purity. We would probably live that life anyway. The plan of Jericho was an impossible, logical, and illogical plan. The plan for the saving of our souls is very, very logical. It all comes down to faith. It all comes down to faith. You know, we're familiar with that song, Joshua Fought the Battle of Jericho. I like that song. It's actually a non-biblical song. It's against the teaching of the Bible. Joshua didn't bring down the walls of Jericho. The people didn't bring down the walls of Jericho, whether they marched in silence and then shouted or not. It was God, but it was God working through their faith. God working through their faith. In fact, the Hebrew penman says in Hebrews 11:30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they compassed about 7 days. So faith brought that problem to the ground. And faith can make our problems manageable. I'm not going to say we can see our problems crumble before our very eyes. Probably we're not. But our faith will get us through even the battle of Jericho. Now let's make some application. We talk a lot in this congregation about faith. I preach a lot about faith. And in every sermon that I have ever preached about faith, probably every sermon you've ever heard about faith, the preacher's going to read some specific verses. He's going to read from Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he, that's us, we that come to God must first of all believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In other words, brethren, I believe that God can do what God said he's going to do. That's what faith is. And I and other preachers will also define faith or allow the Hebrew penman to define faith. Faith is substance. It's not imaginary. It's substance, the substance of things we hope for. It's the evidence of things that we do not see. But the Bible teaches that faith without that proper action, without obedience, is useless. The Israelites could have believed that God could bring the walls down, but they had to do what God or Joshua told them they needed to do. So the application of this story is not the walls come tumbling down. The application of this story for us is because of their obedience, God did what he said he was going to do. And finally, after 40 years wandering in the wilderness, the people were ready to put their trust in God. Again, 40 years ago, they thought they were grasshoppers before these giant Canaanites. Now they were ready to put their trust in God. And brethren, regardless of the history of any congregation, and we have a wonderful history in this congregation, regardless of what we have done in the past, it's from today forward that will prove our faith. We can't say, I have faith because 30 years ago we had 300 members in this congregation. That's not faith, that's sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. So God calls on us today to live a degree of faith that is exemplary in the world. Isaiah 40 verse 29, God gives power to the weak. Jeremiah 17, 17, God blesses those that trust in him. Psalm 46, 10 says, we are simply to be still and know God is God. Brethren, God has a plan. He's given us a taste of that plan in the New Testament. But we don't know what his plan is for us individually or us collectively. But God has a plan. And we need to make ourselves available to God in that plan. Individually, collectively. We need to make ourselves available for that. God has the power to do what God says he's going to do. That's what faith is. Sometimes our lacking, though, is patience. Because I want God to help increase our congregation spiritually and numerically, but I want it to start today. If not today, then tomorrow. I just don't want to wait any longer than that. That was not God's plan at Jericho. And that might not be God's plan now, though we hope that it is. God has a plan. God has the power. We need to supply the patience. You know, realize this also. God could have brought the walls of Jericho down that very first day. He could have brought those walls down without the people even walking around one time. This was his plan, and they needed to use his plan. So if Joshua and the people had decided at any point, that their thinking was better than God's thinking, their planning was better than God's planning, their thoughts were stronger than his, they would have failed. And I suppose the Israelites would have never entered into Canaan's land. They had to trust God. They had to wait on God. They had to use God's time frame and not their own. Or perhaps today, the application is for you. You need to realize God has a plan for you, just like he has a plan for me. We need to make ourselves available for that plan. I've used this verse quite a bit here lately. Beautiful verse, Proverbs 3, 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge God, and he will direct our paths. We'll get Barry to go ahead and move forward. If anyone is here tonight and needs to respond to the Lord's invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing?